Welcome to the Peckway Church Podcast. We're glad you're here. At Peckway, our mission is to transform lives by connecting people with God and with each other. It's our hope that this message will give you hope and encourage you to take the next step in your journey with Christ. For more information about our services and weekly ministries, visit us at peckwaychurch.com.
Good morning. Would you stand to your feet as we begin this morning? Psalm 16:11 says, "In God's presence there is fullness of joy." There is joy in this place today. Let's celebrate.
We worship the God who is. We worship the God who evermore will be. He opened the prison doors. He parted the raging sea. My God, He holds the victory. Yeah. There's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord today. And we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place. And we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. Oh, oh, oh. We shout out your praise. Oh, oh, oh. We sing to the God who heals. We sing to the God who saves. We sing to the God who always makes a way. 'Cause He hung up on that cross, then He rose up from the grave. My God, still rolling stones away. There's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord today. And we won't be quiet. We shout. Shout out your praise. We were the beggars, now we're royalty. We were the prisoners, and now we're running free. And we are forgiven, accepted, redeemed by His grace. Let the house of the Lord sing praise.
Come on, sing that with me.
And we were the beggars, and now we're royalty. And we were the prisoners, now we're running free. And we are forgiven, accepted, redeemed by His grace. Let the house of the Lord sing praise.
Come on.
There's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord today. And we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place. And we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord today. And we won't be quiet. We shout out. And we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. We shout out your praise. There is joy in this house. There is joy in this house today. We shout out your praise. We shout out your praise.
Would you give the Lord praise today? Amen. Go ahead and be seated.
Today is a beautiful day of celebration. A day to honor the women who've shaped us, nurtured us, and walked us through life. It's a day to say thanks to all the moms. Moms with toddlers tearing through the house, and moms whose babies have moved away. Moms who are doing this all by themselves, and moms who loved a child in need. Moms who have suffered unimaginable loss, and moms whose children are moms themselves. For all the times your love made things better, and the moments your wisdom made things clear, for the way you lived as an example, so we could see Jesus through you, for each and every memory that has lit the path we walk, we say thank you. Whether this is a day of celebration, reflection, or heartache, know that you are loved. Happy Mother's Day.
Well, good morning and welcome to Peckway Church. My name is Scott Munson. I'm the worship pastor here at Peckway Church. And I want to say happy Mother's Day to all moms. Thank you for being here with us both in person and online. Would you take a moment to look inside of your bulletin? There is a gray connection card. We ask that everyone fill out the card and drop it in the box that's at the back of the room there at the double doors. And then online, you're going to find a connect link for our digital connection card in the chat window. Now, today we want to help you make Mother's Day extra special. So we're going to be giving away two gift cards this morning that you can use maybe to take mom out again in the coming weeks. And so, but you have to fill out this card or the online digital card in order to be entered for the drawing for those the gift cards. So if you would just take a few moments right now, fill out that card, and then have it ready to drop in the back, at that box in the back of the room. Also, if this is your first time with us, you can simply take out your mobile phone and text the word hello to 717-872-5679 to get connected. Well, Psalm 127:3 says that children are a gift from the Lord. They are a reward from Him. And God has given us the responsibility to teach and nurture our children. And the best thing that we could ever do for them is to teach them how to have a personal relationship with Jesus. So today we're going to talk about what that looks like, that importance of that relationship. What's at stake? And also, what decision do we need to make in order to help our kids have an unshakable faith in Christ? And it's that unshakable faith in Christ that we can depend on no matter our circumstances. You know, the Hebrew word hallelujah means to praise the Lord. And that's what we're going to do right now. So I'm going to invite you to stand once again with us as we sing about the hope we have in Jesus and His unfailing love and His faithfulness to us.
I raise a hallelujah in the presence of my enemies. I raise a hallelujah louder than the unbelief. I raise a hallelujah. My weapon is a melody. I raise a hallelujah. Heaven comes to fight for me. I'm gonna sing in the middle of the storm. Hope will arise. Death is defeated.
alive this morning. Not just this morning, every morning, right?
Every day.
And He is more than we can ever imagine, more than we could ever know that we need. So let's continue worshiping this morning, pouring out our heart to Him today.
Be more loved than I am right now. Wasn't holding you up, so there's nothing I can do to let you down. It doesn't take a trophy to make you proud. I'll never be more loved than I am right now.
Going through a storm, but I won't go down. I hear your voice carried in the rhythm of the wind to call me out.
You would cross an ocean so I wouldn't drown. You've never been closer than you are right now. How I feel right now on the mountaintop. I can see so clear what it's all about. So stay by my side till the sun goes down. Don't wanna forget how I feel right now. Jireh, Jireh, you are. hearts fall short. I've got nothing new. How could I express all my gratitude? I could sing these songs as I often do. Every song must end, and you never do. So I throw up my hands and praise you again and again. 'Cause all that I have is a hallelujah, hallelujah. And I know it's not much, but I'm nothing else fit for a king, except for a heart singing hallelujah, hallelujah. I've got one response. I've got just one move. With my arms stretched wide, I will worship you. So I throw up my hands and praise you again and again. 'Cause all that I have is a hallelujah, hallelujah. And I know it's not, but I'm nothing else fit for a king, except for a heart singing hallelujah, hallelujah. Soul, oh, don't you get shy on me, lift up your song, 'cause you've got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord. Come on, my soul, oh, don't you get shy on me, lift up your song, 'cause you've got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up. Your song, 'cause you got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
would you pray with us? Jesus, it's our heart that we give you today. Lord, the praise, Father, that you deserve. Lord, in this moment, as we've come to this time, Lord, to listen to your word. Father, would you open our hearts today, Father, to be sensitive to what it is that you want to say to us, Lord. God, we're so grateful today that we can honor our moms and that we can be in this place today worshiping maybe with our mom or, Lord, just all the things that maybe the emotions that are here today. God, we thank you that you, you've created those, Lord, and you've created us to worship you. You've created us to crave you, Father. And so we thank you if our moms have taught us that, Lord, or if somewhere along the line that we've come to recognize that, Jesus. And so today, Lord, as we come to this moment, Father, would you help us as we learn how to be better parents, better aunts, better uncles, better brothers and sisters, whatever it is today, Jesus. And we pray and ask this in your holy name. Amen. Please be seated.
Thanks, Scott. Thanks, worship team. And as you said, Lynn, I just want to say a couple things. The first is with Pastor Scott to our mothers, happy Mother's Day. But I want to quickly move on and also say to the moms this, and I think I could say it with integrity. I think I could say it with accuracy. I want to say thank you. Because I suspect if your kids are like my kids, and I believe like myself, that if I had the opportunity to sit down with your children, for some of you, your grandchildren, maybe one or two, maybe even great-grandchildren, then I think they would tell me that a lot of what they understand about the love of God and the grace of God and the long-suffering of God and the goodness of God, they learn from you, Mom. And so I just want to say thank you, because I don't think until you're in heaven, you're ever going to fully appreciate Mom and Grandma, the difference you've made. So thank you. But as we come to the message this morning, I've been thinking long and hard about where to go, and I really decided this week, given where we're at culturally, given conversations I've had with some of you and the struggles you're facing, I really decided I want to talk to you as mothers, because I know this rides deep in your heart, even more so in some ways than us as fathers, is the formation of your children's faith. And here's what I want to begin by saying to you. In all honesty, I've been a pastor for a fairly long time, 3 decades now. And folks, over that time, those 30 years, I've had a lot of people say a lot of things to me. But you know what? I've never had a single person say to me, I've never once heard anyone say to me, you know what, I hope my kids grow up and never embrace the values embodied in the Ten Commandments. I've never once had a parent, a mother or father say to me, you know what, I hope my child grows up to reject the morality as it's articulated in the Sermon on the Mount and the Golden Rule and the Great Commandment. I hope my child grows up to reject God. I've never had someone say that to me. And honestly, it doesn't matter. I've talked to people. Again, my ministry has been in contexts that were largely unchurched, and I've never had a person, regardless of the faith background, ever look at me and say, you know what, Jerry, I hope my child grows up to hate God. I hope my child grows up with no moral or spiritual grounding in their life. Never once in 30 years of ministry have I ever had a mother or a father say that to me. And here's the reason I share that with you folks, because today, as I said, many parents, I sense, feel between a rock and a hard place. They feel caught between wanting their children and their grandchildren grow up to have real and genuine faith, and at the same time feeling pressured, even fearful, about being accused of forcing their faith on their child or the grandchild. And the reason many of us face that fear is because, let's face it, folks, today, at least from my perspective, the dominant voices in our culture today are feeding that fear. Because they're saying things like this. We hear it all the time. You know, don't shove religion down your kid's throat, right? We've all heard that. We've heard it said to us. Said, you know, don't force your kids to go to church. We've heard it said. We've read it. We've said, you know what? Don't impose your beliefs, especially your Christian beliefs, on your children and your grandchildren. And when you and I'll speak for myself, when I hear words like force and shove and impose, my tendency is to feel like I need to back up and back off. And the tendency for some of us as parents, especially today with that narrative going on, is we say, you know what, I guess I just need to let my kids or my grandkids find their own way when it comes to God and faith. But here's the question I want to deal with this morning. The question I hope we're asking as parents and grandparents, should we? Is that what we should do? Is that the right thing for us to do? Should we cave in to that pressure? Should we cave in to that narrative? Or if not, how do we respond? I mean, how do we move beyond that pressure, that narrative? And I'll just begin, I'll just lay my cards on the table this morning, tell you where we're going, folks. I believe after 30 years, 40 years of studying God's Word and 30 years of being a parent and now a grandparent, I believe to the answer to that question is no, that's not the right response. And I would suggest to you, folks, the way we move beyond that is we first begin to recognize that the job as a parent is not to be passive. The job as a parent and a grandparent is to be active. In other words, our job is to do for our kids what they need us to do for them. Sometimes, many times, especially when they're young, when they don't even know they need it done for them. And bottom line, folks, what that means is we can't cave in to that pressure. And nowhere do our kids need that from us more than when it comes to spiritual things, when it comes to the Christian faith. Because here's what we need to understand. When our kids are 3, 5, even 10, they are, and I don't mean this in a pejorative way, they are by nature relationally, emotionally, spiritually, and socially immature. Which means you and I, what is necessary, what's required for you and I as the parents is to exercise maturity on their behalf. And as I said, nowhere does that need to be more enforced and active in our lives than when it comes to the spiritual things in our children's lives. And here's the reason I say that, and here's the reason you might sense some passion in me as a father and a grandfather, because according to the teaching of Jesus, according to the Christian faith, folks, the stakes could not be higher. Now, I know as soon as I say that, there's some of you, and I respect it. I'm glad you're here, whether online or here in the building. You hear that and say, well, Jerry, you know what? I don't accept Jesus. And I certainly don't embrace the Christian faith. And I'll be honest with you, if you're there, I respect that. I understand that. I was there once in my life. But here's what I want to say to you. If you're going to reject Jesus and the Christian faith, then I think it's still imperative that you understand the stakes as Jesus laid them out. Because if you're going to reject them and negate them, as I did once in my life, then at the very least, make that decision based on the facts and not just personal opinion or secondhand information. Does that make sense? So I just want to take time, and just very quickly, we'll move quickly through this in the first part. I just want to share with you the stakes when it comes to forming our children's faith as they are taught by Jesus in the Christian faith. And let's begin with this. At the very beginning, Jesus taught that God made you and I. He made our children and our grandchildren for a relationship with Him. He didn't create our children or our grandchildren because He didn't want us to be lonely. Or because He just needed someone to populate there. No, God created us to love us, to have a relationship with us. But here's the thing. Jesus also taught that each and every one of us, based on willful choices, decisions, actions, and thoughts, every one of us at some point rejected that relationship. In other words, we rejected God's plan for us to have a relationship with us. But Jesus also taught, unlike ourselves, God didn't react to us and that decision by rejecting us. In fact, God did the exact opposite. What God did instead is He made a way for that relationship to be restored, for you and I to still live into that plan. And so He sent Jesus to take the punishment for the sins that you and I deserve. That's why Jesus died on a cross. God sent His Son, God in the flesh, to take our place, to suffer the punishment that our sins deserved. So through Jesus' death on a cross, the relationship with God can be restored. And here's why that is critical. Because the very last thing you see there that's at stake is Jesus taught that heaven and hell are real, and real people go to one or the other based on whether or not you and I have our relationship with God restored through the forgiveness that Jesus' death on the cross made possible. Folks, you need to understand, those are the stakes when it comes to forming our children's spiritual lives as Jesus laid them out, as the Christian faith taught. And what we also need to understand that Jesus made it clear through his teaching, God made it clear through his word, that each and every one of us have to decide whether we accept or ultimately reject those stakes as laid out by Jesus. And here's where it gets troubling. For those of us who are parents and grandparents of faith, we cannot make that choice for our children. Ultimately and finally, they must, as they mature, as they come, we talk about an age of accountability, they come to that place in their life where they recognize what Jesus has done, and they have to decide, do I accept it or do I reject it? Mom and dad, grandpa and grandma, we cannot do it. We cannot make the choice for our children. So again, those are the stakes. So the question we need to ask ourselves, so then what is our role as parents? What should we be doing to form our children's, and for some of us like myself now, our grandchildren's, or maybe even our great-grandchildren's faith? What should we be doing? And let me give it to you as quickly and simply and clearly as I can, because according to the Bible, here's the answer to that question. What should we be doing regarding our children's faith and our grandchildren's faith? The answer is everything we can. Everything we possibly can. And throughout the Bible, that is made clear, but I want to give you just one example from a great hero of the faith, a man named Moses, who was, as he was talking to parents, the people of his nation, the Israelites, he was talking to parents about how they should pass on to their children what they've learned from and about God. Take a listen to it. Most of you will recognize this. He said, Moses says, "These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts, mom and dad. Impress them on your children." Underline that. We're going to come back to it. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lay down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. In other words, let me simplify that. Let me summarize. Here's really the point. What Moses is saying in very tangible ways is our job description as parents is to do everything all the time that we can to help teach our kids about God and to drive those things deeply into their lives. In other words, our job description negatively is this: we are not to be casual, let alone careless, about forming our children's faith. Now let's go back to verse 7, because this is abundantly clear. What I just said is made abundantly clear in verse 7, because Moses said, impress them on your children. And let me give you the word picture, because there's a word picture there that we need to get. The word translated, the Hebrew word that Moses used, that we translate in English, impress, literally means sharp. Sharp, S-H-A-R-P. In other words, what Moses is saying, as we parent our kids, our children, our grandchildren, we're to do it in a way that God's truths are deeply, deeply penetrated into their lives. There's nothing casual about it. There's nothing careless about it. We're supposed to parent our kids in a way that God's truth deeply penetrate their lives. So here's the question we need to ask. And ask of ourselves. Not about our parents, our grandparents. Ask it about ourselves, mom and dad, as parents. Are we doing that? Can we honestly say we're doing that? Or are we taking unintentionally or maybe even intentionally a kind of drop-off approach to parenting? And here's what I mean by a drop-off approach to parenting. As soon as I start down this road, some of you will know, some of you have already figured it out. In other words, when we want to have something done in our lives, a skill, a knowledge for our child, what we do is we drop them off with someone else to develop it in them. So if we want the child to play soccer, what do? We drop him or her off with the soccer coach. And if we want our son or our daughter to play piano, what do? We drop him or her off with a piano teacher. If we want him to learn algebra, what do? We drop him off with a math tutor. And it makes sense, doesn't it? Outsource the specialties. I mean, it makes sense, but here's what we need to understand. When it comes to the formation of our children's faith, we can't drop them off. In other words, we cannot outsource our spiritual development of our children to anyone else. And let me give you a very practical reason. I want to make this really concrete for us. I hope for some of us, as I go through this, you're going to go, wow, I never thought about that. I never knew that. And I hope some lights are going to come on. Here's why I say what I do, that we cannot outsource teaching our children about God, that it's our responsibility. Here's the reason I say that. Folks, for you and I, from the time our children enter kindergarten until the time they graduate from high school, 13 years, at best, the church will have your children and my children 608 hours. 608 hours. And I say at best because that's based on a 90% attendance rate. Now, so you know, the average attendance rate for us as adults and kids was about 50% pre-COVID. Now it's closer to 25%, one Sunday a month. Now, folks, so I'm saying at 90%, what that is saying is short of vacation, sick days, and snow days, your son, your daughter's at church. And at best, that's 608 hours over 13 years. But I want you to compare that with the fact that during those same 13 years, you and I will have our children with us approximately 39,000 hours. Roughly 3,000 hours a year. As we get them up in the morning and we feed them and we dress them, as we get them off to school, as we on the weekends go and play games and in the evenings, you know, spend activity and at sports, as we drive them around to after school activities, as we go on vacations, as I said, as we simply, and when they're younger, put them to bed. 3,000 hours a year. Now hold that intention, 608, 39,000. Now let me ask you folks, which of those is going to most powerfully influence your children? The 608 or the 39,000? Where's the real difference going to be made? Where does the burden of responsibility rest? With the 608 or the 39,000? Folks, the responsibility rests, as we know, with the 39,000. In other words, it rests with you and I as their parents. Now, having said that, please hear me. I am not saying by any stretch of the imagination, it isn't just because Missy's sitting here, that those 608 aren't important. They're incredibly important because in that 608, folks, we, as a ministry team, Missy with her ministry team, is able to specifically focus in on the development of your children, their spiritual development. But at best, that 608 hours can simply support what you're doing with the other 39,000 hours. They cannot and will not serve as a substitute for them. And so, folks, that brings us back to the tension we started with. Do we or don't we let our kids decide for themselves faith about God and belief in God and following God? And I'm going to suggest to you, to be able to answer that question, we as parents have to make a decision. I'll even tell you what the decision is. We as parents have to decide, do we believe God and faith are matters of taste? Or do we believe God and faith are a matter of truth? Do we believe God and faith are a matter of taste? Or do we believe God and faith are matters of truth? Now, if we believe they're a matter of taste, then I'll be honest with you, I've just wasted and will waste 30 minutes of your time today. Because really what we're saying is this issue is on par with whether or not we decide our kids to let our kids pick a favorite color and a favorite food, whether we let them pick a favorite style of music, whether they play soccer or football in the fall. It really is simply boils down to personal preference. Which also means if our child then, our son or daughter, decides to choose to follow Muhammad or Buddha or Confucius instead of Jesus, really we say, no big deal, no worries. Because it's simply a matter of taste. It's simply a matter of their personal opinion. But if it's a matter of truth, then things get real serious real quick, don't they? Because now we are talking about right from wrong, good from bad, righteous and unrighteous. We're talking about the relationship with God and where our son or our daughter, our children, will spend eternity. But if it's about taste, then quite honestly, faith in God are insignificant issues. And so we can take, as parents and grandparents, the most laid-back, laissez-faire, it really doesn't matter attitude
and just let our kids and our grandkids figure it out for themselves. Because the most that's at stake is their personal preferences. But if we're truth people, if truth is at stake, folks, then we're talking about, as I've already said, our children knowing and relating and serving God. We're talking about where they will spend eternity, how they will live this life, how they will enjoy or struggle for through this life. Bottom line, we're talking about the most important parental responsibility you and I have, which means this, that we need to do everything we can in our power to help our kids make the right decision, to make the right choices. And let me be clear, what that looks like as a father and a grandfather, what that looks like when our kids are too little to choose for themselves, when they're in preschool and elementary, and as they move into junior high school, those early years, folks, what that looks like, when they can't choose for themselves, we choose for them. And folks, don't we do that in every other area of their life? I mean, did any of us, you know, when our kids were little, did any of us say, you know what, far be it from me to impose on my son whether it's a good thing or a bad thing to put his hand on a hot stove? Didn't any of us say, you know what, far be it from me to impose on my views of safety on the road for my daughter, so if she chooses to play in traffic, so be it. Let her figure out for herself if it's a good thing or a bad thing to get hit by a car. Would any of us ever say to a child or a grandchild, a two-year-old, say, you know what, we give him a fork and we point him toward an electrical socket and say, far be it from me to impose my views on electricity and forks on my grandson. He needs to figure it out for himself. He has to come to his own views. Folks, you know as well as I do, that sounds ridiculous. And the reason it sounds ridiculous to us is because we understand intuitively that our children at that stage in their life are too immature physically and emotionally and intellectually to make those kind of dangerous, even life-threatening decisions for themselves. And so we decide for them. And so we teach them what is right and what is wrong, what is constructive and destructive, what is something to affirm and something to reject. So, folks, why would we ever choose to do anything less when it comes to the most important and significant decision in their life, God and faith? Why would we take that approach? So let's get real practical this morning. Let's get real practical about what it means to be truth parents. And I'll just say to those of you online and those in the room, if you say, you know what, Jerry, I'm a taste parent. I really feel like it's just a matter of personal taste. I respect that, and I'll understand if you just tune me out. It's okay. I get it. But if we're here today and we say, God and faith are matters of truth for me, then let's talk about what it looks like when our kids are young. For example, we do not ask our kids when they're little, in preschool age and elementary age. We don't ask our kids, do you want to play a video game or have me read you a Bible story? We just read them the Bible story. We don't ask our kids when we do turn on the TV, do you want to watch Phineas and Ferb or VeggieTales? We just turn on VeggieTales. On Sunday mornings, we don't look at our kids and say, honey, do you want to go to church or stay home and play? We just get them dressed, put them in the car, and bring them to church. And at the risk of getting some emails, can I talk to you as a father of 30 years and a grandfather of two? When we get them to church, we don't ask them, do you want to go to big church or children's church? We just check them into children's church. And folks, I hope in the spirit of what I've been talking to you, understand that it's not because some ridiculous thing like making noise in the service or distracting other people in the service. Here's the reason I say that to you. Because if we're serious about the faith development of our children, if we're serious about the spiritual development of children, then we will choose for them to put them in an environment that is designed for them from start to finish. Which means this isn't it. And I say that because every week, Pastor Scott and I get together and we plan this service for you, their parents. That's why we're talking about parenting. Now, I understand, please hear me, I'm a parent too and a grandparent. I know at times, either because of anxiety for our children or sickness for our children, we have them in here. I'm not talking about that. But I'm saying, folks, if we're serious about our kids growing to know and to love God and learning to embrace faith in Him, then we choose to put them in the best context for that to happen. Because if you choose to put them in here, I promise you, I will bore them to death. I will. Because I designed this talk for you. And folks, you don't want that for your children, and I don't want that for your children. See, here's the thing. I want your children to be glad when you say, let's go to church. I want your children to be excited about learning about the Lord. So moms and dads, can I beg you to take the lead? Quit looking for your children to lead you in this area. It's unrealistic and it's unfair. It's unfair and unrealistic for you and I to expect them to figure out for themselves and form their faith for themselves. That's our job as parents. Now, having said that, let me say this. Because some of you are here with junior high and high school students, and I want to affirm that, folks. Having said that, I want to say to you that as our kids get older, into middle school and high school, things need to change. And one of the things that needs to change is we have to move from choosing for our children to modeling faith for our children. Because if we don't, they're going to figure out real quick, folks, that our faith has little practical substance in our lives. And when that happens, it doesn't matter how many positive spiritual environments you put them in. More than likely, faith will not take hold in their life. Because, folks, the truth is, we as the primary spiritual influence in their lives, as moms and dads understand, we are the primary and the most powerful spiritual influence in our children's lives. And, folks, who we are speaks so loudly, the truth is our kids can't hear what we say. Which means, in other words, folks, we cannot lead them where we ourselves have never gone. And we cannot give them something we ourselves never possessed. So this morning, and I know this is a heavy message, but I say it because I also know I sit with moms and dads whose hearts are breaking when their children have walked away from God and walked away from the faith and walked away from the church. And so, folks, what I want to do this morning on Mother's Day to save yet another heartbreak and heartache is to say, folks, can we be honest with ourselves as parents? And what I mean by that, can we be honest about ourselves as parents? Our God, is God and faith truly matters of taste? Or are they a matter of truth for us? Which are they? If they're matters of truth for us, then I say to you, well done. You are giving your children a firm foundation. You have something you could build on as that spiritual influence in life. But if it's not, I want to say to you, should it be? In light of the stakes we've just talked about, in light of what I've just shared with you, what I hope is the logical contradictions we have that I won't force this on them, but we don't do that with their education, their health, or anything else in their lives. Why would we not give that leadership there? Folks, if your answer is it isn't, but I realize today it should be, here's my good news for you. It can be. All we have to do is first just to admit to ourselves and to God that we're not where we want to be with God. And then own the choices we have made, the lifestyle we have engaged in that have gone against God's will, and then simply ask God to apply to our lives what Jesus did on the cross, which was to pay for our sins. Make it possible for our relationship to be restored. Because the fact is, if you haven't connected this all, if this is all new to you, folks, the cross that Jesus died on was rightfully your cross and mine. That's why Paul said the wages of sin is death. In other words, the wages that your lifestyle and my lifestyle, apart from Jesus, earn for us is spiritual death. In other words, separation now and for all eternity from God. But Paul did not leave it there. God, through Paul, didn't leave there, because he quickly went on. Those of you know Romans 6:23 says, the wages of sin of death, how it begins, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, like any gift, folks, that gift has to be received. And the way we do that is simply asking Jesus to forgive us and restore our relationship with God And I don't care how you've lived. I don't care what you've done or become to this point in your life. If you pray that prayer, Jesus will answer it. For John says, if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just and will forgive our sins, not might, but will forgive our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. So that's what we do. And folks, from that point on, then that is the beginning, as we talked about at baptisms. It's the beginning of the journey. It's not the end of the journey, which means after that moment, just as you trusted God in faith and for his grace at the beginning, you continue to trust God in faith for his grace moving forward, that he will help you grow and develop that relationship with God. Because then, here's what I know. Then what we say to our kids and what our kids see in our lives, folks, will be one and the same thing. And that is powerful. You know that, and I know that. I'm here today, not just as a Christian, but as a pastor, because of what I saw in my mother's life and what I saw in my grandmother's life. They had something I could not refute. They had something that I did not have, and eventually I wanted it. But it's because what they said and what they did were consistent. They were one and the same. So here's how I want to end. I want to challenge us as parents, moms and dads. Can I challenge us to be active and not passive parents? Because I want us to understand, based on what Jesus said, based on the Christian faith, God and faith are not matters of taste. They are matters of truth, which means the stakes are far too high for you and I to put back the responsibility of forming our kids' faith back on them. Mom and Dad, that's our job. That's our responsibility for God. Let's bow our heads for prayer. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, I want to talk to moms and dads, grandpas and grandmas for just a second. And I want to lead you in a prayer, but here's what I understand, just as I said earlier. This prayer needs to be your prayer, not my prayer. So what I want to offer you is just to guide you this morning in a prayer. And first, I just want to invite you to say, God, I need you. I need you personally. I need you as a parent. For some of us, we may have to admit and need to admit that the way I've been living, the lifestyle I've been choosing, has not honored you. I own that. And so I also own that I need the forgiveness and fresh start that Jesus made possible by dying on the cross. Now, you don't have to say it in those words or that way. In fact, put it in your own words. But just the gist of it is, say, God, I admit, I need you. And for some of us, we need to say, God, I need you, and I need your forgiveness. I need a fresh start as a parent. And now I want to invite you to say, not only, God, do I need your forgiveness, I need your help as a parent, but I need your leadership in my life, personally and as a parent. And so right now, just asking for his moment-by-moment, day-by-day guidance in your life. Telling the God, I want to know the way you want me to live, and with your Spirit's help, I'm committed to living that way. I'll give you just a second to say that again in your own words. Just say, God, I don't only need your forgiveness, I also need your leadership in my life. I need to know the way, and I need you to show me the way to be the man, the woman, the father, the mother that you want me to be, and I want to be. Now, having done that, I just want to invite you to thank him for doing it. Because remember, John told us that if we confess those things, if we ask for his help, he will do it. So right now, just thank him for his forgiveness. Thank him for the leadership he's going to give you in your personal life. And as a parent, just thank him for promising to work in you to will and to do his good purposes in and through your life. Heavenly Father, thank you for providing a way through Jesus for our relationship with you to be restored. And Father, as well, I want to thank you for every father, every mother, every grandpa, grandma, every person in this room who prayed that prayer and in doing so took steps back towards you. And I want to thank you for the assurance that they can know moving forward that they have you at the center of their life, and there, Father, you will guide them, protect them, and strengthen them for the role of not only being your father, but being a father, a mother, who parents the way you intended to form and shape their children's faith. And so, Father, for every father and mother, but moms especially today, either online or here in the building, I ask you to give them the conviction, the courage, the endurance to actually guide and guard the formation of their children's faith in a context and a culture today which is so strongly telling us to take our hands off. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Jerry. So in light of today's message, you might be asking, so now what? What do I do with this information that I just heard and this call that Jerry just made? Maybe you prayed that prayer this morning. If you did and you want to, or maybe you're on the fence, you don't know, but there's a couple of resources I want to point your attention to. If you're a first-time guest, we have this book out front as you're leaving. There's the connection desk there, but it's How Good Is Good Enough? And if you are wondering about that question, how good is good enough to get to heaven, it doesn't matter if you're a first-time guest. If you want that information, you can have that today. And also, this little blue book, My Heart, Christ's Home, that it talks about what it means to have Jesus in your life and to invite him into your life. And so so those are available for you at the connection desk. Or maybe you want to talk to someone in person. That's what this gray card is for. I'm going to invite you to take that out once again online. You'll have that link in the chat window. But there's some things there about our decisions that we made today. So as I said, maybe you don't even have that relationship yourself to be able to share with your children. You can do that. And if you want to talk to someone, we're available to do that, not to coerce you or twist your arm about anything, but just to talk because we love you and we want to share Jesus with you and we want to let you know about the love of Jesus. And so that's what that card is for today. So would you take a moment, fill that out, do that, drop it in that box in the back of the room. And as a bonus, I'm giving away 2 gift cards for you to be able to treat mom to another night or another day to be able to go out and have some time together to fellowship. Also, if you'd like to give today, that's part of our worship. That's available for you there in person. You can use envelopes or at the back of the room there at the door. You can also do that online. There's a link in the chat window as well. Well, thank you for worshiping here with us this morning for Mother's Day. Please enjoy some snacks and coffee, and there's some beautiful flowers out there today as well for moms. So thank you so much, and I hope you have a great rest of your day.